For many of those dot-com startups of a couple of years ago, the stamp of legitimacy was being added to the NASDAQ stock exchange. As the markets and the economy soured, many of those new entrants were taken off because their share prices had fallen too low. Hundreds more might have followed. But NASDAQ imposed a moratorium on the process in the aftermath of September 11th. That moratorium ended last week. NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports on how and why NASDAQ thins its ranks when stocks don't perform.
They're called penny stocks. The price of these stocks has fallen to the dollar mark and then below it. It's measured only in cents.
When it falls that low, I mean, that sends a signal saying that, hey, things are a lot worse than this company had ever anticipated they would be.
Chuck Hill is director of research at First Call.
And you have to take a good hard look at what the reasons were that drove their stock down this low, and is it something that they can recover from?
On the NASDAQ stock exchange, home to most small publicly traded companies, stocks that stay below a dollar for 30 trading days are subject to being delisted, erased from the exchange. Last year, there was a surge in delistings. 350 companies were taken off the rolls. It was the flip side of the internet and telecom boom. Many of the delisted companies had gone public with fanfare just a year or two before. Some 300 NASDAQ companies remain candidates for delisting today. That's 7% of the exchange's membership. David Weald, vice chairman of the NASDAQ Stock Exchange, says it's all part of a natural process. New companies go public and are added to the exchange. Those that don't make it are taken off. You could think of the delisting process as market hygiene.
It speaks right to the heart of investor confidence and having integrity in the system. And people need to know that there are standards that are applied and that the marketplace, the stock market, NASDAQ, is out observing and protecting their interests.
Many delisted companies just go out of business. If they survive, their stock may be traded on what's called the over-the-counter market. Stephen DeSanctis of Prudential Securities says institutional investors, mutual funds, insurance companies, and pension funds won't touch a company that's fallen to the over-the-counter market.
They're going to want to get rid of it before it gets delisted.
And here's why. Over-the-counter stocks are hard to trade. There are few buyers for them, and their prices can be easily manipulated. In this netherworld, there's little regulation of either the companies or the market. Not surprisingly, public companies do everything they can to stay out of that market. The Denver internet security firm Esoft, whose stock has stayed stubbornly below a dollar all fall, has tried to rally investors in many ways. Esoft repaid a multi-million dollar loan ahead of schedule. It announced it would buy back its stock to shore up the price. To no avail. Ann Beth Hansman is Esoft's vice president of finance.
There are many companies out there like Esoft that are finding themselves in this position. They've shown demonstrated many positive trends, such as revenue growth, declining losses. Yet at the same time, the stock price has declined and, sometimes has declined to below a dollar.
On Friday, Hansman said she was confident that investors would eventually come around. This week, time ran out for Esoft. The NASDAQ Stock Exchange informed the company that after a run of a little over 3 years, starting next week, Esoft, symbol ESFT, would no longer be traded on the NASDAQ. Just 2 years ago, it was riding high at $43 a share. Esoft had hoped to benefit from a proposed new rule. NASDAQ has asked the Securities and Exchange Commission for a change that would allow many of these delisting candidates to go from the main NASDAQ market to a market for small companies. Or as one analyst put it, to purgatory instead of the ignominy of the over-the-counter market. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.